Because I'm also not sure, you know, if this is a one-time shot or not. First, I was going to, like, try and squeeze everything I know in Chinuch in 45 minutes, which was a little difficult because I couldn't fill up the time. But but I'm not sure if we're supposed to meet again sometime or someone else supposed to meet again. So I decided at the end to more limit it to just one basic topic. And I guess if people are interested, they can always have a different time, maybe myself or with someone else who's obviously a bigger expert. In general, just a disclaimer, I don't claim to be an expert in chinuch. You know, my wife will definitely tell me that. And I assume all of our wives will tell us that. Anyway, but I'm not an expert in chinuch. And I suspect many of you people here are bigger experts than I am in many areas of chinuch, and for sure in your own grades, which you have experience. But we'll just touch on some maybe more general topics, and then we'll see. We'll try and maybe discuss some topics and then maybe open the floor. I wanted to discuss starting the concept just before, you know, the first step is the mitzvah. Now, if we want to be in chinuch, we have to be motivated. Obviously, if we're not motivated, it's not going to be good because obviously, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this, but the pay is not so great. And Baruch Hashem, I don't work in the financial office, so I'm not taking responsibility. But we do know that the pay is not so great, and that's probably not right. But as it is, so unless the person is really motivated, that he feels that this is, you know, you get something besides pay, people would not be doing this. And so I wanted to discuss a little bit, you know, why are we in chinuch? I think that's an important question. We have to be a little bit more motivated. Not more motivated, but just to repeat over it. Rashiva used to always say you have to chazer over the basics. So we'll chazer the basics. So there's a few different points here. Basically, I can't say everything is kuli amo lo pligi, but I think on most of the things I'm going to say, I don't know if there's that many machlekes. Everything in Yadus is a machlekes kemat. My brother was once giving a class on Esraigim, and he was saying, if this happens, it's a machlekes, and if this happens, machlekes. After a while, you say, if this happens, and the whole audience screamed out, it's a machlekes. There is everything that's come out of machlekes. And probably in our Batzis Torah, there's also machlekesim. But I do not think this is just Rashiva Sheet. I heard the same thing from Rav Avrahami, who was the author of the Binyan Olam, who was a Talmud of Rav Chatzko. I once spoke to the Shiva from Hebron, from Tells here in Chicago. He seemed to be the same. We had Rabbi First was here. We spoke to him. But there is definitely, obviously, some other opinions. Rabbi Levine, right, said when he was here that, you know, he says there's some other shita coming from Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't know who's behind it, but he says he never heard it from his rabbi. Rabbi First said he doesn't also did not know where the other shita comes from. But there is definitely some other shitas. Okay, there are, like everything else, is machlekesim. But I think this is a relatively mainstream opinion that we're saying. The question is, just on a basic shita, why is Harbatzis Torah so important? So the Reshiva Zatzal, I believe, had three main reasons. Again, it's not just Reshiva. The first reason is that the Reshiva used to say that the Iker Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is really Harbatzis Torah. Vilman Amin Aslamed is a bigger Talmud Torah. And as we know, Talmud Torah cannot get kudam. So Talmud Torah, when done bishleimis, is the highest mitzvah. So So what's called the highest level of learning? So if you look at the Avos Rav Nosson, but I don't know if I made enough sheet. I'm shocked. Okay, in Avos Rav Nosson, it says here in Perek Arbasar, the second Mishnah, Huya Aymer, Imasisa Taira Harbe, Al Toxic Taira Hasba, Kirachach Masarta. If you learned a lot of Taira, don't be a Balgaiva, Kirachach Masarta, the Fisho Nutzer, Bias Enam Lasha Yasak Betaira. So he says in the bottom, the Iker Alima Lilame Lacherim. Lishmar Velasos. Right? In other words, it says, Sisa Torah Harbe, Al Toxic Toiva La Asmecha. So the way he's learning, Al Toxic Toiva La Asmecha means you should teach it to others. That's how he's reading this Mishnah. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't keep it for yourself, but teach others. Why? Because you weren't created except for Torah. So that doesn't make sense. Why? Should I go ahead and teach others? If it wasn't created for Torah, so Adarabba, that is a reason why I should be Maxik at Asko. I'm amazing. I learned so much Torah. So that's how we learn Pshat. That's because the real Torah is to teach others. Iker Alima de Lamed Acherim. That's the Iker Mitzvah of Limed Torah. A lot of people say the same thing. It's a Mishnah. I figured a Mishnah is always a Braisa early. But many people say this, that the Iker Mitzvah, there's a Marsha that says it. Many people say it, that the Iker Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is because it goes Lilmod Amin Asalamed. It's a higher level of Lilmod. So there's one thing is Talmud Torah is connected Kulam. And Limud HaTorah, to teach Torah, is a higher form of learning. So even if you're not growing, you're just learning over the teaching over the same thing that you know already, even if it says you're teaching Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis is teaching Torah. So even though you're not growing, I already know Aleph Beis, but in Lomdus, we learn Torah, it's for the Kedushas Torah, the Mitzvah Torah. The Mitzvah of teaching Torah is a greater Mitzvah. So a person who's teaching Aleph Beis in the concept of Limud Torah is doing a greater mitzvah of Talmud Torah than the person who's working on a hard Shev Shemaitza. Right? That's basically what it's saying here. Because this is the highest level of Torah. Highest level of Torah is to teach. Person's learning a very difficult sugya and he's not teaching. So it's not the highest level of Talmud Torah. Okay. That's the first reason. Second reason is not on the sheet, but the second reason is really in the Or Yisrael. Photocopy it. This Rashiva used to say this all the time, that even if forgetting about the bigger mitzvah, there's certain times that your person, if a person lived during World War II, he lived in Switzerland, and he had the ability to save lives, but he's making a lot of money, or he's doing who knows what, he's very busy, he's making money, he's learning, I don't know, whatever he's doing. He says, it's too bad. You have to stop what you're doing and save lives. You can't be selfish and just care about yourself. It's such an avla. Here, people next door to you are getting killed in the Shoah, and you're, I have a great business. So the same thing is true if we believe that there is a spiritual Shoah going on, which we do believe, and you have the ability to save people. And you're going to say, I want to sit and learn myself so I can become the Gadol Hadar. That's like the guy sitting in Switzerland and says, I'm making a lot of money, I want to become rich, so I'm not going to bother saving lives. Excuse me. There's a chiyuv, mitzvah sheyef shadei acherim, stoicha talmud Torah. You're not allowed almost to sit back and do nothing. If you're not allowed, even if you would learn, it would be a begam in your learning. And vice versa, there's a tremendous ma'ida in the teaching. So the second reason, the Rashiva used to always give that, Rav Yisrael really says it, pretty beferish. It says that Rav Yisrael, it's brought in the Nesivis or in the Kach, in the Or Yisrael, that Rav Yisrael originally decided to be a Nister because he felt he could reach a higher level of serving Hashem, and he would reach the highest Madrega, But then he decided that he wasn't allowed to be a Nister because he has to save, help the people. And therefore he made a total change. He was Megan himself, and he spent his whole life basically trying to help others. So that would be the second reason, that even if perhaps in 500 years ago, there might have been an Indian of sitting and learning day and night yourself to become that God Adar. But today, it's a different situation. It's a different world. And we're not allowed that liberty, especially if we have the talent. Maybe if we wouldn't be so talented. That we have the talent and the ability to save people, we're obligated to do so. Okay. The third reason is this Chayvus of Avos. The Chayvus of Avos is one of the most amazing Chayvus of Avos. I assume many of you have seen it already, but I couldn't help but photocopy, because for those who haven't seen it, it's such an amazing Chayvus of Avos. Chayvus of Avos says, I heard this Chayvus of Avos from Rav Shiva Netzau, I heard it from Rav Brook Netzau, I heard from a few people. It's not just, Chayvus of Avos is an early Rishon, it's before the Rambam. You should know, ki schius ha maimin, the schus of a maimin, even if he reaches the highest level, if he karev the malachim, and he's able to reach almost like a malach, the other gerus here is to a neviim, but it's basically the same. You reach close to the level of malachim or neviim. V'midaisam atoyves minageyem ashubachim v'shtadlusam avoydes habori v'avos mazaka. Right? So if a person reaches the highest possible human level, he's like a malach. Einam, he is not equal. Kizchuyas mishemora bnei adam aderech atoyva. He's not equal to the zchus of a person who teaches others. Umeisher risham avoyes habori. Why? Because a person who teaches others, his chusim is doubled, because he gets all the chusim of his talmidim, right? In other words, when a person teaches others, he's going to say, he gives his mashal, that every time one of your talmid do a mitzvah, you get schar for his mitzvah. So he says that the difference basically between two stores, the Walmart that has a small markup, and some fancy store which has a very big markup. Which store makes more money? It really depends on your volume. If there's a greater volume, even if there's a small markup, you make a much more profit. That's his mashal here. So he says that if you teach others, and you have hundreds of talmidim, so you get, every time one of your talmidim does a mitzvah, you get a schus. Every time one of your talmidim's children or talmidim did a mitzvah, you get a schus. Goes on for generations. So you're talking about you have hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people adding schusim. So even though you might be yourself much less than that other person, but he's only one individual. You're getting schusim of 1,000, 10,000 people. Schusim of 10,000 people, like a Walmart, has a turnover 10,000 times greater. Even if their profit line is much smaller, they make much more money. Right? That's his. He says he gives a mashal. He says basically they make 100 times greater profit, right? Which is amazing. Chayvus of Avos. You're talking about a person. You know, just think about it. You're talking about a person. Imagine you went to Eretz Yisrael, and they pointed to a guy in a corner, and he said, "That person, he sits and learns day and night. He has perfect midas. He's a mamish, a tzaddik, she'en gemo. He's a parish from Olam Hazeh. He has every single praise you can say about the guy, right? And he's sitting in his corner, isolation, and all day, just does mitzvahs, learns, davens, dveikas, right? Then you point to a guy, another person, who's a Rebbe somewhere, and say, "Oh, but you know who's greater?" You know, that Rebbe over here. I mean, come on, but that's what he says, because you get all this chusim. It's just unbelievable. Now, the pshat in the Chayvus of Avos is somewhat ambiguous, because the Chayvus of Avos doesn't say how much chus do you get into your talmidim. Do you get 1% of your talmid's mitzvahs? 2%? He doesn't say. But there is, it's on the other side, there's a sefer called Menucha Kedusha. this I get credit for. This is I take credit for a little bit key. Something I get credit for. Sefer Minucha Kedusha is a Talmud of Chaim Volozhin. Pretty early sefer, even though it's when Nekudas, that just they reprinted it. But it's a very early sefer. So he says as follows, Talmud of Chaim Volozhin. It's the third line. Shekol Torah Mitzvah Sheyasa Talmud Me'ata Vat Oidam Begromas Rabo. And all the mitzvahs that the Rebbe Talmud does forever, Din Shomai Dekachu. Mitchila Poiskim Schar Talmud. First Hashem decides how much schar to give to the Talmud. Be'ad Kol Mitzvah Mitzvah. Hashir HaKos HaBedin Shomai Litein Ba'an Mitzvah Zu. U'mashlim Lo B'milu B'ein Chol Machs. In other words, the Talmud doesn't lose because the Rebbe gets a chedek. Va'achar kach shoykren old chedek shoveh v'noisim l'rabo. It's amazing. He says that the Rebbe doesn't just get 1% of the Talmud's mitzvahs. The Rebbe gets 100%. Right? That's a lot of mitzvahs. In other words, if you have a Talmud, and because of you he's doing mitzvahs, that's because of you he's sitting and learning, or he's davening, or he's in keeping whatever he's doing, and it's because of you. So, and he's going on for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, every single mitzvah he does, you get 100% a chedek in his mitzvah. Not 1%, not 2%, 100%. Right? So that's what the Chayit of Avos is saying, that it's like, you're really, the person who is only taking care of himself is one person. So as much as he can be like a malach, there's a limit how much schar he can get, how many mitzvahs he can do. But you have 100, 200, 500 people working for you, and you get 100% of all their mitzvahs. That's, and their children, and they're, right? Assuming it's because of you, okay? So those are the three reasons that the Reshiva, and others too, not just Reshiva, we push very much our Basas Torah. One is, it's the highest form of Talmud Torah, which would mean even if, let's say, the Reshiva has this famous shmooze of, I don't remember who, Yeshayo, that he was trying to teach and no one listened to him. So even if you don't have the Chavis of Avos Svara, you know, even if no one listens, but if you're teaching Torah, it's the highest level of Talmud Torah. Second reason is, whether you like it or not, that's the call of the hour. That's your Chiyuv. You got to do it. And the third reason is that if you are successful, which Bez Hashem, we believe we are, then you get a chedek in all the mitzvahs of the Talmidim. Okay, fine. All right. I want to just a few more and then get to the point. The shaila comes up, what grade should a person teach? Right? You have a choice. Right? What grade should you teach? So, there's a fascinating, I found that there's a tshuva that talked about it, and I could not find it. I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. But I found almost the equivalency. There's a mashdam that they quote that says, it doesn't talk about this shaita exactly. But there is, he says basically, saying you can figure it out from the mashdam. Who is the Marshdam, right? That's a good question. I have to tell you a funny, funny story. I don't know if I should say a funny story. The Marshdam was one of the Spanish Gedolim from the time of the Spanish Inquisition. He's like a Rishon, around the 14, 1500s. I don't know exactly. A late Rishon. A pretty chashuv sefer. The funny story is when I was sending Shiva from my mother, so my father learned in YU, the smicha from. So they put up signs in Eretz Yisrael. So someone came into Menachem Avo, who my father hasn't seen for like 50 years, who was like a classmate of his, who was also happening and retired in Eretz Yisrael. And he became a conservative rabbi. And he came to Menachem Avo, and it was, if not that I was sitting Shiva, it would have been so funny what the guy was saying. So he told my father he is the world's greatest expert on the Marshdam. That sounds very impressive, you know. Conservative rabbi, world greatest expert on the Marshtam. So he says he vigorously figured out how to relearn the Marshtam. He reads the tshuva and he takes notes. See, it says it's written in this city, I don't know how you pronounce it. So he writes that down. He figures out the date. Then he reads which people are in the shaitas. Okay? Then he goes to the next tshuva. So in each tshuva, he gets out the historical information. He reads the beginning, what city is written and who the people are. And then he skips to the next tshuva. And this is, he's the world's greatest expert. He knows historically what city the Mashtam was in 1504, and what city was in 1507. Yoshikaya, okay. Anyway, so the Mashtam has the following shaita. A person collected money to give to a Talmud Torah in Hebron, where apparently he was learning on a high level of learning. And for whatever reason, it seems like the Talmud Torah in Hebron might have closed. And so now they want to give it to the cheder in, how do you pronounce this? Shalunki? How do you pronounce that? Someone.
Salonika.
Okay. So the shaita is, can they do that? Because it was collected for this yeshiva gedola, and now it's going to the cheder. So he says in his tshuva, it's the right thing. Why? So he says, you start on the third line. Afido naniach shechevre is chevren adayin hu altala. Even if chevren is around, mikar wakon kvar kasav arash b'tshuva v'hiya b'no atur, she nidvos the sarabes kaz sarabes almin, if they gave charity for a shul, yekonim v'yir nashanosin the sarabes medrash. Al tamatar. In other words, you're allowed to move it up. If it was collected for one purpose, you can move it for a greater purpose. Even if the person, the donor, does not agree. Right? I have to tell that to Moshe Bernstein. Right? So if a guy gave money for a soccer field, we're allowed to take the money and use it for the yeshiva. Right? That's what he says. Oh. Why? Because you're raising it. That even though the Torah in Chevron is very important, Mikomakom over there, Hanashim Hashem Hanashim Gedolim. Those were adults, big people, Shanim. The Chavre Talmid Torah Shebe Salonika, okay? Tinaika Shabbat Rabbim. And the Gemara says, Ein Oedem is Kai Mishvil Behevel Tinaika Shabbat Rabbim. Omene Abai Rafapa Rabbi Didi Vididach Mai. Is our learning also on that level? Amrele, no. Ein Oedem Hevel Shesh Bochein, Hevel Shem Bochein. In other words, Ketanim who learn Torah is a higher level. Therefore, if you have money that's donated for a yeshiva gedola, he says you're allowed to take it and switch it to a cheder, because a cheder is a higher level of learning. Based on this Gemara, that the Gemara said that the world is oimed on the hevel piyam of Tinogu Sheis Rabbim and not on the hevel piyam of Rapapa. So I saw a tshuva said pretty beferish that if a person has a choice, he should try and teach Tinaika Shabbos Rabbin. It's a higher level of learning. Shaita is, I don't do that. Well, I guess no one offered me a job in Tinaika Shabbos Rabbin. But so the answer is, because we used to ask this question to Rosh Hashiva, what grade should one should teach? And Rosh Hashiva did not think it made a difference. He was very strong that one doesn't teach which grade is a bigger mitzvah. Basically, the main point I wanted to make. Yeshiva held, and maybe you look at the Stei Chemet. He says it. Mitzvah shayis and also harbin b'nei adam b'shutzvis ko echad neitel schar kido osa kudo levado. In other words, if you have a team, and the team does a mitzvah, then everyone gets schar for that mitzvah. So if we have a yeshiva, and we believe the yeshiva is successful, and it's after 12 years, 15 years, whatever it is, then who gets schar? You don't just get schar because you taught first grade. You get schar for first grade. You get schar for second grade. You get schar for third grade. Everyone gets schar for everything. Because without that piece, it wouldn't have worked. That's what he says. If you have a group, he keeps on saying, if you have a chevres of shas, and each person learns part of shas, and together you learn all shas, so they all get schar as if they learned shas. Because without you, Shas wouldn't have been learned. So that's a concept. If you have a group of people, and without them, it wouldn't have been done, everyone gets credited for the entire thing. That's the beauty of working for a yeshiva that's not just a one-man show. Now, you go somewhere in some city, and the whole school is not frum, and you're the only frum teacher. So, okay, you're doing a tremendous thing, but you're just going to get scarred for what you did because no one else is doing anything. But if you're working with a team, so you're not just getting your credit. It's the team is working to create a product at the end. You can't get to the end without every step along the way. So every person who makes part of that step along the way, he gets a chedek, and he's part of the team. So when the team wins, if the team wins, everyone wins. So sure, you gotta give a mashal. If you want to join a basketball team, now I don't know anything about basketball, but I assume there's one player that's the most important player, right? Which one is that?
The best one.
What? The best one. But there's no position that's the best position. No. Oh well. Maybe in football. Okay. What's the most important position? Quarterback. Okay, but that doesn't work. No, okay. Anyway, if everyone wants to be, like, everyone's going to be shoot, they're going to shoot in basketball, right? Everyone's going to shoot, the team's going to lose because that's not the way it works. You have to figure out who's the best shooter, who's the best rebounder, and who's the bestest, and they each do what they do best. Then when each does what they do best, the team wins. If the team wins, they all win. If each person, I want to do the shooting, then the team's guaranteed to lose. So Shiva used to say that when deciding, we used to hack him all the time, what should I do when we go into chinuch? He said, do what you do best. Do what you're talented in. Do what you have a skill for. Do what your personality is good in. If you do what, the school's going to try and hire every single position. It should fill each position with people which do that position the best. That's what we need. We need the best first grade teachers, best second grade teachers, best third grade. If you don't have the best on any level, it won't work, right? I've been here, I don't know, a while, the yeshiva, I don't want to say the yeshiva was not successful before I came. It was successful. But part of the reason why it wasn't as successful is there were certain holes, and Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva, we have a great middle school now, right? We have a great elementary school. We filled a lot of the holes in the system. And the yeshiva is much better. Because if you have a hole, it doesn't make a difference where the hole is. If you have a hole, it's no good. People don't want to come to that school. Or even if kids come, they get turned off. It makes no difference where they get turned off. So in order for the team to succeed, which means that we can produce at the end B'nai Torah, I think that's what we consider success. I think what we consider success is that when a bacher is considered a Ben Torah, he accepts the concept. I mean, everything's a success. Everything's a success. We have to know that. But the biggest success is a person's a Ben Torah, he accepts the concept of Das Torah, accepts, he buys into the Yud Gimel Ani Mamims of the Rambam, which if you read them, you'll notice a lot of people in the modern world that might not. they're not all so simple. So if we're successful, and I think, you meet so many people that went through the yeshiva, I have guys in my share. There's no shaykhs, with these people, why, that they're learning in Beis Medrash. Where do they come from to be in Beis Medrash? From Merrill Beach? What are they doing in Beis Medrash? But they went to the elementary school, they went to the high school, and they got connected. There's no way under the sun, that they would have any havamina to be learning in Beis Medrash if that's because of the yeshiva. Of the elementary school, or the high school, or middle school, and if they're not learning here, so I don't care if they're learning somewhere else, and if they're not learning, but they're B'nai Torah, they're going to raise their houses as B'nai Torah. I'd rather they be learning, But that's their tremendous accomplishment. So what the Stei Chemed says, that everybody in the team gets credit for everything. So there in Rosh Yeshiva used to say, it's not logical to say, oh, I want to be, everyone wants to do the, you should figure out which position is the most char, and I want to do that. Because he says, that's not what you're getting. You're not getting schar for doing that position. You're getting schar because the team wins. So your job is to make sure the team wins. To make sure the team wins is to do what you do best for the team. You know, offer your services what the team needs. Sometimes sometimes what you do best, sometimes what the team needs you for best. It's also is a criteria what. So it's a, you know, therefore I think it's a tremendous, I think it's a chizik for everyone that we have, Baruch Hashem, I think we have an amazing team. I really do. I think the yeshiva, when you think about it, it's, you know, it's considering that we're taking in, I mean, obviously we get kids from B'nai Torah families too, but we get a lot of kids not from B'nai Torah families, which without the yeshiva, they would not become B'nai Torah. And they end up becoming, as you know, solid B'nai Torah. They become, they're Kovei Itim the Torah, they're Makshiv Torah, they accept the concept of Dasar, you know, then that's the credit of every person. And then according to these Cheshbainas, we go through the three Cheshbainas that we had. One is, so we're getting the greatest mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Two is that's the need of the hour, because it's not only, the need of the hour is not just to stop people from assimilating. The need of the hour is even the people that aren't assimilating, but they're not, there's so many people that don't prescribe to the Hashkafas HaTorah, so to make a world of B'nai Torah. And we're getting a chedek and a schus of all their mitzvahs. So that's such a tremendous thing. Let me just see what time we have. Okay, I just want to add just one last thing, is that the Maisa, the Rishiva used to be very, has the Shmuz and Breishas, which is a very beautiful Shmuz, that you cannot just do our Bosses Torah because it's the greatest mitzvah. You also have to care about the students. And you have to do it because you also love the students, and you know, love, maybe that's too strong of a word. Sometimes it's hard to love all the students. But to care, about, you know, Hawaii, we love the students. But there are sometimes kids that are hard to love. But to care about them and to feel an achrayus for them. And that is, all, you know, there is, otherwise, of course, kids obviously can see through that. So that's a fourth motivation. Right? They mentioned three motivations, a tremendous mitzvah of Talmud Torah, right, for ourselves. But there's also a natural motivation that people have a midah of they want to be Ba'alei Chasadim. That's a natural midah of Klal Yisrael. We like, we one of our three midah, Gomlei Chasadim. So there's a, we believe this is the ultimate chesed, and that is definitely one, a fourth motivation for our Batzah Zaira, that we have to, we feel we're not just doing a favor to ourselves, but we're doing the ultimate favor to our students. We're giving them the greatest ruchnias. Okay. All right, I'm going to stop, I think. Does anyone want to say something?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can ask. I might, yes.
There's two questions. When it says, b'shutfis kolecha, the Stei Chemed.
Yes.
That means like one institution. Let's say there are two institutions. One's...
I don't know when you draw the line.
Does it apply to whole Klal Yisrael?
I don't think so. No, he's saying when you need a group, when a group got together to perform a mitzvah, like he says that that they made a chevres shas and then they divided up. Chafetz Chaim says an example. It's in the Chafetz Chaim too. If the group got together, they needed a certain amount of money to do some project, and not one person could fund it himself. So a number of people got together to fund it. There's someone, you know, they want to do a chesed to this person. So everyone gives $100, and then we're able to give him the money. So he says each person, you know, he needs a new car. So everyone chips in, and he buys him a car. So he says it's credit, like everyone gave him the car. because without your money, they wouldn't have gotten it. I don't know how, you know, they have to be that they like join together, it seems, that they're mutual coming together. They want to write a Sefer Torah, he says, they get together. But he says it's because Chavetz Chaim quotes it. Chavetz Chaim says the same thing. It's just it's a little clear in the state chemin. He says it's a Mishnah in Shabbos.
Yeah.
Rabbi Schwartz and must be aware of that Mishnah that when two people, each one can't do it, and they do it together, so they each get chayiv as if they did it. Right. That's what. Right, but if they neither can do it by themselves, then they're chayiv. So you see that pshat is when neither can do it. And they need each other, then they're considered as if each one did it. So they say the same thing here. None of us could do shots by ourselves. None of us could do this institution by itself. So then it's as if each one did it, and each one is chayiv. That's what Chavetz Chaim says.
Awesome. Okay. What would you say? Let's say someone was equally talented. He can give a base medrash here, and he could teach first grade equal. What would the Das Torah say that he should do?
I don't know. The Rashiva, you want the Vras Rashiva?
Yeah.
Shiva used to always say, I mean, you do best. If you're not, you do what the Klai Yisrael needs the most. His line used to be, you do whatever makes a bigger Kiddush Hashem. He used to say that also sometimes. He used to, now those are his two answers. Sometimes he said, do what you do best. And sometimes he said, do what you, Klai Yisrael makes the biggest Kiddush Hashem. I don't know which one, you know, then you have to use your judgment, which one makes a carbon board. It could be, it is possible, you know, you have to judge. It could be, you know, whatever one is greater needed. You know, you very often.
That's even if it's not learning.
What?
That's even, let's say, a guy who's a better contractor. You can build a mold, you should be better than.
All right, that's a good question. I don't know. I can't. I would suspect the Shiva would have said yes, but no, I would think he would have said yes, but I didn't see that, the Farish. You know, now that's already just from what Rashi used to say. I think he would say.
How do you get the same sense of accomplishment teaching a younger grade, and let's say a high school in this medrash? Because in younger grades, they don't remember your name the next year.
If it makes you better, happier, they don't remember in base medrash either. Most of the guys do not remember you in base medrash either. A few do, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't remember you. It's amazing. It's amazing that they don't. Some do. I don't want to say none do, but a lot don't. You know, a lot of people, you invest a great deal of koiches, and they don't remember. The answer is that's not what, you know, that's you know yourself, that you change this for you. You know, you put him on the right path. You got him going, and the fact that he doesn't remember you is irrelevant. You know, you don't really care about him. You care about, you know, in reality, Hashem knows. You know, it's not the, we're not doing it for the COVID. COVID is, you know, it's not in this job. It's, you know, if you want COVID, that I would say, that if you want COVID, you should go to a different yeshiva. This yeshiva don't get very much COVID. Just in general, you know, that's the way it is. We're not from enough, we're not this, we're not that. You're never going to get too much COVID. Even if you came to a yeshiva in this yeshiva, you won't get COVID. That's just the way it is. So, but okay. All right.
Not exactly the topic, but how do we figure out the balance of a person working on his own personal avodas Hashem in order to?
That's not the topic. That's what I said. I didn't know what to do. Whether I should try and cover five topics or one topic? That's a very, it's a very good question.
There's enough about this Torah out there for us to be busy dealing with our tummy.
Yes. I asked that question to Rav Yosef Kahn, to Rabbi Levine from Telz, to Rav Avrahami, and I don't think I know who else I asked to. Obviously, it bothered me. One person told me, work on davening. He said, you have to daven anyway. So, daven with kavana. He says, you're not taking off from your talmidim when you're davening. Rabbi Levine told me, get up before shachris. He says, Hashem gives you a bracha that you need less sleep. I don't know if it works, but that's what he said. That's what he said. Get up. He says, Hashem, there's a chayv is a vavitz that says that you get a bracha, you need less sleep. So learn before chakras. And and I guess the other person told me, like, the normal answer that, you know, prepare shir on a higher level. You know, I try, okay, I have to get in base mesh, but that's why I always try not to do the same sugyas, because at least she'll learn a little bit, you know. I don't know if the guy can do that in the younger grades. I don't know. Okay. Rashiva, you say a lot of things, and it's, yes, but I know, I'm not saying, you know, when yeshiva used to come to Israel, I just had this, we used to, when I was a rabbi in Israel, they used to have a meeting, and the guys used to ask them, what should be our daily schedule? And he used to start, and the guys would start writing down, and then they would ask, always every year, they would ask him, but Rabbi, there's no way we can do this one day. Yeah, it's true. You know, having every year, every year, you have the same. You know, you do next year's Mesachta, last year's Mesachta, Chazer, do the Rosh, Shav Shemaitza, two Musar Seders, and I don't know. The Rashi did say he should learn a few hours a day. Yes, he did. But did he, I guess, but, okay. The Shaita, what that means, I don't know. I don't know what that meant. We'll leave it at that.
Four chakras.
What? Yeah. All right.